It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
We are back, ladies and gents. Welcome to After the Week. It is Denise Salcedo and Will Washington. We're here to talk the best and the worst of pro wrestling for this week. Will, I got to say, I think your worst was you getting sick. How are you feeling?
I can't say much better. I woke up with like a coughing attack at like 2 o'clock in the morning and couldn't get back to sleep because I had keeping this cough down. I've been like living off of those cough drops for the last like all morning pretty much. But my voice is almost back. It's got a little scratchiness to it, but it's almost kind of like my wife called it a sexy rasp. And she's like, I kind of like it. And I'm like, it's not going to stick around, but, I'm better than yesterday. For people who listened to Grapsody yesterday, that was still a strain on the vocal cords. I'm better today.
What's worse is that I've learned that even if you just have a little strain and you think you can do a show, no, that show will totally F you up. I'm sure you kind of felt a little worse after Grapsody.
Well, yeah. And somebody pointed out in the chat yesterday that I said at the top of the show I'd do like probably less talking and then I didn't. And so it was still the same. And by the end, yeah, I was just like, I need water. So I've got 3 glasses of water here, plus this cotton candy seltzer water, which is just kind of an interesting flavor, but whatever.
Man.
And just trying to live.
You know what, Will? I feel sorry for you because I was just there. You were just there.
I know
exactly what it feels like, and it's horrible, and it sucks, especially when this is your job. You can't, I mean, everybody when they're sick has to miss work, right? But it's so annoying when it's literally your voice and you can't speak and you can't do anything. It really sucks.
Yeah. And like I told you earlier this week, I got your cooties through the screen because
watch out, everyone.
It's contagious, apparently. But yeah, because the funny thing was, all of the symptoms as they were coming one by one, we're all sounding reminiscent of Denise. It was like, okay, my voice is starting to go out. That's weird. Huh, I have a fever this morning. That's a little weird. And then, oh, I've got this cough. And like all of a sudden, I'm like, this all sounds exactly, beat for beat, exactly how Denise was describing her illness 1 week ago.
Did you see my comment? I commented on your post. I was like, tag, you're it.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder who's next.
You got to pass it on to somebody else now, and that's when you'll be okay. But yes. Man, well, I'm glad you're able to do this show. We got so much to talk about because I thought this week overall, there was a lot of good matches today. Like I felt it was so easy for me to put my list together this week, whereas normally I have like a little bit of a harder time, but I had my 3 best instantly and I had my worst instantly. So I felt pretty good about the week overall. How'd you feel about the week?
I liked a lot of the in-ring stuff I saw this week, and everything on my best is definitely from in-ring. My worst is not. I actually feel really guilty about my worst, but we'll talk about that here shortly. But yeah, there was some great stuff in-ring this week. At least one of ours might be the same. One might be surprising to people. But I'm excited to get to talk about it all.
All righty. Well, we're going to get to that. Before we do, heads up, everybody. Please make sure, if you can, if you want to get your question, your comment, your statement, or just support this podcast in general, you are more than welcome to send in a super chat. A super chat gets whatever you want read here on the screen, unless it's something terrible, then clearly not. But you guys don't need that to be explained to you. Please do send in super chats. They do help us, just move along with the show and also just help support the show overall. So we will be putting those up on the screen if you do send them. On top of that, two more announcements. One is, this is our first show where the channel's officially over 100,000 subscribers. So hey.
Where are my streamers? I had stuff planned for this and I forgot to grab them. Damn. I wasn't even thinking about that.
You know, I was too cheap to buy balloons. Will, do you guys know how expensive balloons are? So get this. I was gonna buy 4 balloons from Party City, a 1, a 0, a 0, and a K for 100K. And the total was like $62 for balloons. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah, I usually, and granted, I have kids, so I do balloons fairly often for birthday parties, twice a year. Dollar Tree is really good for that,
but
actually.
I wanted the one, the zero, the zero,
they
and the
have,
K.
But, like, Dollar Tree will usually have letters and numbers and stuff.
But are they, like, the big ones, or are they, like, super little?
I mean, move them closer to your camera, and then they're,
watch, I'm gonna
and they're
go
whatever
today
size
and,
you need.
I'm going to go today, and I'm going to check, because I could not get myself to spend $62 on balloons. Like, come on now. That's a little ridiculous, don't you think? Because I think it's a little ridiculous.
I mean, it, yeah, but I've done the Party City thing, and it's, I think there's a reason I have experience at this party stuff. I'm actually throwing a party next month, and I already know where I'm going to get everything I need, and it's Dollar Tree, baby. You want to sponsor this podcast?
I love Dollar Tree.
Yeah, and of course, it's like, yes, we will. Here's $1. but...
oh, man.
Anyway.
What was I talking about?
You're talking about, you reached 100K.
Announcements, the announcements. Okay, so this is officially a 100K channel. We're actually 200 subscribers away from 101,000. So please make sure you guys click that subscribe if you're new here. If this is your first time on the show, get to know us. We're really nice. We don't bite. So please take part in the chat and all of that. On top of that, big announcement. I've officially moved my Speak Now Pro Wrestling shows over to this channel, which was a huge risk. But I'm so excited about it. And on Friday was the first show. I am going to be live on top of Sundays here with Will for After the Week. I will be live on Tuesdays to talk NXT with y'all. Wednesdays, AEW Dynamite, and then Fridays, SmackDown. So make sure you guys come on, hop on, and if you just want to have a good time and have some conversation with somebody about the wrestling that occurred that day, that's the place to be. So please help support those shows as well. But we got some super chats in here. This one is from Chi-Town Spurs, who says, my worst of the week is Dylan Brooks. Will, you might want to cue me in on this one.
Yeah, you don't watch basketball, do you?
Well, my husband's been watching basketball all day, and I sent him to the other room because I was like, nah, bro, I want to be in the living room with a big TV. You go watch your basketball in the room.
No. It's playoff basketball season. You don't, no, you leave the room.
Will, I wear the pants in this house.
No, this is playoff basketball season. Are you kidding me? Anyway, the story here, Dylan Brooks, of course, player for the Memphis Grizzlies. The Memphis Grizzlies are in a series with the LA Lakers. So this is one you probably should have been familiar with. Dylan Brooks got ejected yesterday for a low blow on LeBron James.
An actual low blow? Like a low blow?
Yes. It was more like he kind of kicked in his direction and he was ejected with a flagrant two.
I didn't know this happened in basketball.
It happens all the time. As a matter of fact, there's like videos of Draymond Green like kicking people in the balls during games. You can't do that. And so, yes, he was ejected from the game yesterday. And that did result in... Look, I watched that entire game and I felt all season long that the Memphis Grizzlies are frauds. And that their number two status in the NBA was a farce. And... I was really hoping in the playoffs that they'd prove me wrong so we could get the Lakers up out of here. And they are instead proving me right. Although, Ja Morant in that fourth quarter yesterday, he is the man. Honestly, he was the player of the game last night, and he deserves all of the accolades he gets. But a 9-point first quarter is unacceptable in basketball. That's unacceptable in a lot of sports, but let alone basketball. But on the other hand, the fact that after all of that, the Lakers let them get as close as they did and it ended up only in, a 10-point game. Whew. Yeah, it's been a fun playoff season so far. And the Nuggets play tonight. They have a chance at sweeping the Minnesota Timberwolves.
What if it's the Nuggets and the Lakers in the end? You know, I'm going to fight you for that. All of a sudden, I'm going to be like number one basketball fan.
The hard part for me is that the Lakers have been the kryptonite to the Nuggets my entire fandom. That the Nuggets have made it to the Western Conference Finals two times. And both times, they faced the Lakers. And both times they lost to the Lakers. And so I don't look forward to that possibility. I don't want to see that, but it could happen. So it's not a thing that I'm ruling out as a possibility, especially with it looking like the Lakers are probably going to beat the Grizzlies.
I do have one more thing to say about this, by the way, because you know my husband, he's a sports addict. He watches everything. So here's the thing. If I year round, there's something major going on in sports, okay? I feel like every week it's like, oh, well, this is really important and this is what's happening right now. And I'm like, imagine if I gave up my big screen TV all the time for every major thing in sports. Keep in mind, he watches football, and not just the NFL. He watches the Canadian Football League, he watches the USFL, he even
Is he
watches the
watching the
XFL.
XFL? Okay.
Yes. He watches all of that. And then on top of that, he watches basketball, baseball. It's like, come on now. If I'm gonna get, am I gonna be giving up my TV for every single major sporting event?
This sounds about right, yes.
No.
What?
I want to chill and watch from the big screen too. Plus, I love my couch. He hates our couch. I love my couch. Anyways. We'll move on from this. Sheldon Jackson sends in a super chat saying, I wanted to get Will's thoughts on the Outcast since I believe they're officially worse than the Nightmare Collective. With all that talent between Saraya, Ruby, and Tony, it is a damn shame, says Sheldon Jackson. Will, take the floor.
That's a big stretch to say worse than the Nightmare Collective. For those who don't remember the Nightmare Collective and weren't watching AEW in 2020, that was a faction that consisted of Brandi Rhodes. It was led by Brandi Rhodes, and it featured Awesome Kong, who didn't really get to do anything in the faction because she did not get medically cleared. It also featured Mel, who even remembers Mel, and it featured Luther. And the faction had one or a couple of really, really bad segments, and then after that, they were like, "Did we say Nightmare Collective? We meant Brandy's back with Cody, and we're gonna pretend none of this ever happened." I will never say it was that bad. But I think that the Outcasts, to me, I said a few weeks ago that I felt like the act was growing stale. I felt like there was nothing new happening with it and that it was kind of the same stuff over and over and over. I actually did like the segment this week with Jericho and Adam Cole and bringing the Outcast in that I felt like something was finally progressing, something was different was finally happening. We got to see a hometown person in Britt Baker in peril. I actually did like the segment, and it was the first time because I felt like Ruby Soho's first promo after she joined gave the faction some life that I felt like they've needed. And then it all felt like a little bit more of the same. It was pretty much like, okay, Sky Blue's in a match. Yeah, she's gonna get beat. A lot of the same stuff. But this week I thought something different was happening. And I liked that things were progressing with them and some stakes can finally start to get added to some stuff. So no, I was into it this week.
This was like the first week that they actually did something different. And then on top of that, I liked the drama. What can I say? I loved the drama at the end and everything that they had going on with the Jazz. And I kind of liked how that all, just like wedged in together. So I thought that for all the weeks of everything we've been seeing, that was probably the strongest for them, specifically speaking on the Outcast and whatnot. But thank you so much to Sheldon
Yeah,
Jackson.
that's why I can't say that this is the week to say that. Like, this isn't the week I would say that they're the worst. This is the week I would actually say things are a little bit better.
We got a super chat here from Johnny who says, hype for FTR versus Jay and Jeff at Double or Nothing question mark. Well, we know that Will, you're the world's biggest Jeff Jarrett fan, so I'm curious on your thoughts on this one because we land on totally opposite sides here. Like, I'm cool with seeing if we were to see FTR, Jay and Jay Lethal and Jeff, I'm okay with that. But I know you're not going to be okay with that.
I mean, I know it's where things are heading, so therefore, I mean, it's look, I recognize that the reasons I don't like Jeff Jarrett are all for reasons I'm not supposed to like Jeff Jarrett, so therefore, I guess it's working.
You got worked.
I know, and so, did you watch Rampage this week?
I tuned in for one match.
Was it FTR teaming with Jeff Jarrett
No.
and Jay Lethal?
I'm
No,
sorry. I
I know. Yeah,
tuned in
you
for
watched the
that
main.
one
It
match. Yeah,
was
I
the main
tuned in for
event.
one
Yeah.
match and it was the main event.
Okay. I mean, Jeff Jarrett. I think the match will get good heat. That's the thing is, all of these Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal tag matches have all been very good. The matches they had with the Acclaimed, the matches that all led to us thinking that, oh my God, Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal could possibly win the titles. And being in there with FTR, I think could end up being probably the best match that Jay...
You can't even Jay say Lethal. It. You're going to die before you say it, Will. You're like Jay.
My body is like, don't you dare say this. It could end up being like the best match right that Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett have had challenging for tag titles. It's just, oh my God. Please be done with it after this, but I at least think it's going to be a good match. But yeah, it's probably happening Double or Nothing.
Pisa sends in a super chat saying All-Star Dream Queendom is a must watch. No promotion has been doing better in ring storytelling consistently. Stardom is absolutely killing it. You know, I really do wish that I had more time on my schedule to watch all of this. And I feel bad because I haven't been tuning in.
Yeah. This is one of those things where, I almost caught it last night, but had to get to sleep. And have not had the opportunity this morning to catch the show, but I will be watching it this evening. I have heard very good things about the main event. Of course, the big shocking result is that Mercedes is no longer the champ. And, whew, good stuff. I will check out the show probably this afternoon as I go around cleaning the house.
Pieces, thank you so much for the super chat. It's much appreciated. All right, so let's get to it, man. Let's talk about our best of the week. Will, you're up. What is your third best?
All right, it's a rarity because usually if The Miz pops up on any of my lists, he's going to be in worst. But you know what? Not this week. The Miz went out there and had what was probably in his top three best matches in his career. The Miz one-on-one with Seth Rollins. When this match was announced, I did like a lot of people did. I gave the groan like, this is what we're doing with Seth Rollins? Okay. But you know what? They did it. They had a great match. Now, again, I made the joke on Grapsity yesterday that for The Miz, this is one of the top three matches of his career. For Seth Rollins, this was another Monday. But at the end of the day, I think that they went out there and delivered. Where was Raw this week? Was it Little Rock, Arkansas? I think it was Little Rock. And being that crowd was hit or miss. I feel like mostly miss. There was a lot of silence. There was a lot of piping in of boos, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But I thought that this match did its job in getting the crowd going, getting the crowd hype, getting the crowd hot, and Miz did his part. I think it takes two to tango. This is never one of those things where I'll say, oh, this was all Seth Rollins. No, it was Miz here too. This was a reminder of what I thought Miz was capable of as a performer back in 2017, 2018, the near falls, just the way that the match was flowing and getting everybody excited. I liked it. I liked everything about this. By the end of the match, I was reminded that when Miz is given the opportunity to perform, he does perform. That the thing I hate about Miz is not the performer. It is the stale act. And I'm almost annoyed of what Miz is capable of and how little of it we've gotten because of the fact that this match happened the way it did. But this was a great one-on-one match between The Miz and Seth Rollins.
So I'm a little worried about our list right now, Will, because my third
best is
also Seth Rollins and The Miz. I literally have it in the exact same spot. But the second you said it, I was like, oh, when you said, oh, I never usually pick anything from this show, I was like, he's talking about Raw. And you want to know how I knew? Because I was going to say the same thing. I was going to be like, well, it's been a while since I've chosen something from Raw. But it's true, though. I completely agree with everything you said here. And the part that you touched on that I want to kind of take a second on is the fact that you were like, oh, you know, kind of got a little annoyed that we don't get to see this very often. And it kind of irritates me because do you have any idea how many terrible Miz TVs, Moist TVs, and all of these TVs that we've had to sit through? It's been god awful. And so the fact that we went in here and when this match started, I was like you too. When this match started, I was like, I don't give a damn. I'm just going to sit here and just... who the fuck cares? You know, like I didn't care at all about this match. And before I knew it, I did like a double take where I'm thinking, oh shit, I'm enjoying this match between The Miz and Seth Rollins. And one of the things that I said on the Raw post show was that for some reason, now keep in mind, Seth Rollins is Seth Rollins and he's always doing a great job, but there was something different in him this week where I really kind of felt like he was just coming at things a little extra harder. And considering that this match with The Miz could have just been like a throwaway, could have been an easy night for Seth Rollins or whatever, I kind of felt like he was just hitting things a little extra harder. I felt like he had a little bit more of, I don't know, like he felt like he was there to prove a point. I think he was thinking probably, I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming like, oh, nobody's going to care about this match with The Miz. Well, let me freaking surprise them here. I don't know. I felt like Seth Rollins came at this with a little bit of an extra attitude to this match. And so for me, that was definitely something that stood out. And there were so many fun moments like I loved. And the first thing that I think about was those dives, those numerous dives to the outside from Seth Rollins. I thought that was really freaking cool. I even liked the two DDTs that The Miz did. I was like, okay, he came to play. That was fun too. So there was a lot in this match that surprised me, not because it's not that I don't expect anything from good from Seth, but it's more so because we don't get this that often on Raw and we don't get it from The Miz. And I think that was like the big takeaway from this. And now after we've had this reminder, Will, I don't want to see no more Miz TV. Give me a couple of months without Miz TV. I could use the rest of the year of a break from Miz TV. Give me some random matches. I don't even care anymore. Give me The Miz and Omaz at this point. I would prefer that so much more.
What? No, you wouldn't. Okay, stop yes, it.
I prefer The Miz versus Omaz more than freaking Miz TV. Okay. Am I alone on this? Chat, help me out here, man. What do you prefer?
I'm sure some of the Homo sapiens in the crowd or in the chat will be on your side for that, but you don't believe that, Denise.
Yes, I do believe that, Will. I'm saying that with my full heart and soul and spirit right now.
Okay.
Think about it, honestly.
I'm not thinking about this.
Would you rather hear The Miz do the exact same thing he's been doing every week on Miz TV, or would you rather get a little bit of a fun, maybe a little wonky kind of a match between him and Omos?
Sure. Yes. Okay.
See, we got some, by the way, Chris Brown says, sending in a super chat saying, Denise, can you say he came to play again? He came to play again. Thank you, Chris, for sending that in. I appreciate that. Matt Kensley says, I'd pay to see that train wreck. Orion Ben says, Miz versus Omos would be better than Rollins Omos. I don't think so.
Wait, what? Okay.
Okay, Darth Vapor here says agree with Denise. Xeno Hour says Homo sapiens united. Santiago says virus has really screwed your brain. Omos versus The Miz. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I prefer to see that over Miz TV, okay? I'm not saying that this is
WrestleMania. I agree with you that I'm done with Miz TV. I've been done for a long time. I was very annoyed with his regression as an act, as it felt like in 2016, 2017, really felt like The Miz was really coming into his own as a serious performer that was a top level performer. He was having feuds with Roman Reigns back in 2017. Now this is a guy that couldn't lace Roman Reigns boots. And I almost found it partially annoying. I'm going to steal a point from Alex Palowski, who had said his main issue with this match was that you can't just turn Miz on and off like this. Like, literally, this is a guy who got beaten by Snoop Dogg 2 weeks ago at WrestleMania and is now competing with Seth Rollins and competing with him at high level. And that was the point that he had made. And I can see that point in that it's very hard for me to take a guy who, yes, I agree, you know, lost to to Pat McAfee in a couple of seconds, and then lost to Snoop Dogg in even shorter time, and was probably going to lose to Shane McMahon had that not gone the way it did. And so I can maybe see the point that was being made there. But at the same time, if you can really heat Miz back up, there is something left in him as a performer. But you can't just then tomorrow go, okay, remember that stuff we saw from him last week? Actually, he's a geek again. Like,
but they always do that, though.
I know.
The Miz. They've been doing that. Why do you think when he was WWE champion, nobody gave a rat's ass?
Right. And that most recent title reign, I mean, he was squashed by Bobby Lashley very, very quickly. This was not a reign where he was taken seriously at all. I feel like Miz's regression as an act has really been going since about 2019, where they just decided, we're just going to throw the A-lister stuff back on him and we're not going to do anything refreshing or new with him.
Exactly. We got a super chat here from Mike, a newbie, who says, what a character arc from mortal enemies on Quizzlemania to becoming a hive mind. Keep up the fantastic work, y'all. Thank you so much, Micah.
Denise said I have never been mortal enemies, but I was annoyed that she screwed me over in Quizzlemania.
I already told you that was going to happen to whoever would have been in your spot. This was not a targeted attack to you, Will Washington.
It's targeted attack in the sense that I was always going to win that Quizzlemania because I'm Will fucking Washington. And so that's...
You know, that's never going to die. But I will say this. I was very proud that that was one of the most talked about Quizzlemanias ever because I saw them reactions. And you know what? You know what I did? I was WWE with freaking Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. God damn. That's what I literally did. They stole my idea. All right. We got a super chat here from Ryan Pregler who says Mike Mizanin is a good performer, but Miz is washed. Well, I mean, that goes back to the same idea that we were just talking about them not doing anything new with the Miz. But I think the Miz is kind of just what he is now. And they find a way. They put him in there. They plug him in. And that's what it is. But thank you so much to Ryan Pregler for sending in the super chat. I appreciate it. All right. So we also got Sean in the chat, by the way. He says, I think Denise was a great Quizzlemania host, .. I would have believed it without all the extra .. But let's get to the number two of the week. Will, what was your second best?
Well, there's no way we matched up on this one unless this is the one random time we do because Denise doesn't watch Ring of Honor on the regular. And so...
Damn, Will, just expose me. Denise doesn't watch Ring of Honor on the regular.
Did you watch Ring of Honor this week,
No,
Denise?
I did not.
Okay, well then, you would have loved Ring of Honor this week.
Okay.
You absolutely would have. For the same reason that you probably loved Rampage this week. Because Vikingo...
Oh, yes. Yes, I know.
...went one-on-one with Gringo Loco on Ring of Honor. I got a chance to catch this last night. This was freaking spectacular. I had heard about this from people in the arena. This was taped at the Milwaukee show last week. And these guys, you know, it's interesting. I've been hearing complaints about the Ring of Honor tapings when they're taped with Dynamite because it's basically like, oh, you're going to try and make us sit through like another full on TV show. It's one thing to make us sit through Rampage because Rampage is an hour and you don't show us the backstage segments. But when it comes to Ring of Honor, you're taping this whole other show with this crowd here. And for the most part, the crowd is fairly dead for the Ring of Honor matches. But if you can give them something hot, something that can bring them to life, like a Vikingo versus Gringo Loco, then absolutely do that. If you don't like lucha things, you need not apply here. But this match is very much lucha and a half. It was so good. It is a freaking highlight reel in itself. Everything from there was an inside out 360 springboard Rana from Vikingo that looked phenomenal. I have notes here, by the way. We saw a 450 corkscrew splash. We saw an avalanche military press slam. There was a double springboard corkscrew poison Rana, double knees into the corner, and into a 630 senton for the win. Just phenomenal action. This was the type of action that will get you out of your seat. Just the kind of stuff that you're seeing two performers where you're like, okay, you know that there's probably not going to be a title change here. You know that Vikingo is fairly protected. But at the same time, watching him and Gringo Loco do their thing there, man, I'm a lot of my exposure to the best of Akingo's work has been this year, and it's been very recent stuff. It's been the stuff in Ring of Honor. It's been the stuff, he had the match last week at Triple Mania, the four way, to have the match with Kenny on Dynamite, to wrestle on Rampage again this week, and to have a match on Ring of Honor this week. I'm getting so much exposure to Vikingo to the point of where I'm like, this is a guy that I very much believe has what it takes to be an American TV star. And all it's going to take is getting him that exposure. But this match here belongs on any list of the top matches I saw this week.
So when I saw that match was announced, by the way, I knew that it was going to be good. And I'm actually, you know what? I'm gonna make sure, because I haven't gotten my Honor Club subscription, by the way. I think that's what's been like my thing, that I keep forgetting to sign up. And I just keep forgetting to like go on Thursdays, because Thursdays is my no show day. So it's like I get to do something else for Thursdays. But this is a match that I definitely want to see. And why? Because I'm very familiar with both the work of Vikingo and Gringo Loco. And that's the thing. I want to take a second and talk about Gringo Loco here, because like you mentioned, a lot of people have gotten this exposure with Vikingo, with the stuff that he's been doing with AEW, with Ring of Honor, and all of that, right? So when it comes to Gringo Loco, though, a lot of people haven't gotten that exposure. In fact, I do think that this was probably the first time that a lot of people probably got to see Gringo Loco for the first time. Now, of course, he's been in the business now for like 20 years, has been, has been wrestling in Mexico for like ever, the indies, most primarily, also been doing so much with GCW, and then also, what do you call it? He's been doing some stuff in Japan recently too, which has been really great to see as well. But I do want to say though that one of the things that makes Gringo Loco very unique is that he's somebody that, and we talked about this, he was a guy from Chicago, where it's like nobody was expecting him to go to Mexico way back when to try to get in with these guys and, earn the respect of being an American guy trying to, do lucha. But it was his passion. It was his thing. It was the thing he gravitated towards. And the thing that makes him really good, besides having all of these years of experience, is that he knows how to work with these guys. Like, he can work with your Vikingos, your Bandidos, he can work the style that he is a real, and that's his name, the Base God. So he's really good at working with these guys and letting them do their thing and making sure that he is that proper base that they need. Same thing that Black Taurus does a whole lot. And so that's part of the reason why this match I knew was going to be good already. So I do want to make sure to take some time and finally subscribe and get to see it. And so I'm really happy that he's got this opportunity. And I do hope that maybe he gets, maybe like a one-off on AEW or something, because I think if anybody can have the opportunity to really work with someone like that and show, what they can do, I think that would be a really good one. So I'm very happy for Gringo Loco on that end. And then might as well get into my second best, because the match I did get to watch was over on Rampage, and I watched it this morning,
Oh
by the
crap, our
way.
number one is the same.
You don't know that. You don't know that, Will. But you don't know that. You don't know, no, you don't know. So my number two was Vikingo versus Dralístico on Rampage, and this was a lot of, of course, where do I begin here? With Vikingo just going out there and being Vikingo, and I think that's the draw, right? That's what you want to see. There are certain guys that you pay to see them because they're a special attraction, and that to me is what Vikingo is. And you mix it in there with Dralístico. You had some really great moments throughout this match. Frick, like Canadian Destroyer on the apron. The one move that always makes me so nervous, or not nervous, but like I always go like, damn, Vikingo, don't hurt yourself, or rather just like, don't have to do this in every match, is the one where he does like, he dives out into the ring and the person moves out of the way, but he still takes that bump onto the mat and nobody catches him. I'm like, oh, Vikingo, protect yourself. But we don't necessarily like need that one
It
if you're not
looks
gonna
great
take it.
every time,
It
though.
does, but obviously, caretaking and all of that, whatever.
Yes.
So this was so much fun. This was ex it's this was a main event for Rampage. This to me felt like I could not miss this. I couldn't miss this match. And that's why when I tuned into Rampage, I was like, I'm specifically tuning in to watch this match. This was the match that I watched. This was the match that I enjoyed. And kudos to Vikingo. He took two spots here on our show and two totally different matches. We got a super chat here from Yes Boy who says, hear me out, Bullet Club Goldberg.
Get out of here. No, stop bringing up Goldberg. If he wants to do this indie tour or wants to do this retirement tour, I think he should partner with like GCW. I think that'd be the fun place for him to do that, honestly.
Because I bet Deathmatch Goldberg out there with light tubes and shit.
No, I mean, like, honestly, if Goldberg is going to do a retirement tour, they'd do big numbers if he partnered with, like, an indie and did a retirement tour with them if he says he wants to do this four-city retirement tour. That'd probably be the biggest thing in indie wrestling, honestly. But as far as the idea that people keep throwing out there of signing Goldberg someplace, I don't know.
Just say, Will, that I kind of want to see Goldberg at AEW. And before everybody boos me the fuck out of here, the reason I say that is because that was in my predictions for my 2023 predictions that I did with Sean.
And then you'd be like, bam, 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 and hit
all three. Can you imagine if I got like one more besides, because I got the Vince one.
Uh-huh.
And then I could get this one, the Goldberg AEW. There's some possibility in there. And the other one that I think I maybe could get, maybe if all the stars align, I don't know, but I'm just manifesting it. Kenny versus CM Punk, that's another one. I know there's a lot of controversy there, but you know what? I manifested it, and that was the whole point of it. Crazy things that can happen in wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy things could happen in pro wrestling. Who knows?
For Housen sends in a super chat saying, Athena as Ring of Honor Women's Champion has been my favorite on ROH. Will, give us a walkthrough. How has Athena been as champion?
Amazing. Every single week, people, the talk after Ring of Honor is always, damn, Athena might be the best women's champion going today. And now, granted, you have, I know when you talk about somebody like Bianca, right? She's a heel, or she's a babyface, and a babyface, it's a little harder to win people over because that's essentially your job. And then, of course, obviously, Rhea is very new in this role. But Athena has gotten so much freedom at this because of the fact that Ring of Honor is a less, you know, it's not really a TV product. It's not a show that's made for TV. And in that sense, Antonio said this in the media scrums, that he gets the ability to do a lot more and not have to worry about the restrictions of TV. But really, Athena has been killing it on promo. She's been killing it in matches. And she really does come off as somebody who wants to dominate a division. And I think it's translating into what she's putting out on TV or putting out on this show. I do think that she is one of the most intriguing women's champions that definitely the AEW Ring of Honor scene has ever seen. And I think when it comes time for her to be done with Ring of Honor, I think she'll have a renewed sense of who she is and what she can do. And you can really try again with her on the main AEW show.
Man, that's awesome. Good for Athena, honestly. Tenruza sends in a super chat saying Stardom and New Japan Pro Wrestling is where it's at. Trinity, hopefully there soon if Bushiroad gets its head in the game. Maybe Bayley down the road. Denise, watch it. Guys, I'm trying. I'm trying my hardest, man. You know how much wrestling there's on TV? And there's still more to come?
I know. We're going to have to get like a roster split Denise where you're just split into two different people who can cover two different sides of professional wrestling.
God, I wish I could split myself in half. Johnny sends in a super chat saying, are y'all going to do the best of the month and year? I would hope so. We'll see. We'll play it by ear and see how that all, you know.
I know. I mean,
out.
I feel
we
like
did
we've
last
done this.
Year, though.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, I would easily do a best of the year again, yeah. Obviously. That was a great show.
The month, I think, is too repetitive.
Yeah. And plus, we were already too many months into the show to just suddenly start doing it now.
Yeah. We'll do the best of spring, or we could do seasons. Best of the winter. Best of the summer.
Yeah, best of the quarter. I don't know.
Oh, man.
Okay. More excuses to podcast are always great.
That's true. And Johnny, thank you so much for the super chat. It's much appreciated. And let me just get caught up with the comments, y'all. Once again, guys, if you do want to help support this podcast, give it some love. Hit that subscribe button. Give this video a like. Send in some super chats if you want /can. And all right. So it's now time for our worst of the week. And Will, I'm a little nervous on this one because You said you kind of felt guilty about yours, and I kind of do. I don't feel guilty, but I do feel sad. So, Will, what's your worst of the week?
Look, I know I've said on this show that Trish Stratus is my favorite, and I love Trish.
No, Will.
I've been holding my Trish Stratus. Look, this figure right here is one of my go-tos. I even liked Trish's promo. None of this falls on Trish Stratus, but my worst goes to WWE production because they went overzealous with the boo.mp3 file that they consistently kept playing over this promo. They played it over her entrance. They could not trust. I'm of the belief, the reason I hate doctoring live, why? Tell me why. Yeah, no, I am not, obviously wrestling has always doctored up its, or I guess sweetened is the word we're looking for, but they've always sweetened the taped shows. The AEW does it with Rampage. WWE used to do it with SmackDown, Main Event, whatever it was in a taped setting, Heat. We always saw the tape shows get sweetened reactions. But it's a very recent phenomenon in live shows. WWE only started doing it when they got back on the road after the pandemic because they didn't have the tools to do it. They didn't learn to do it in live shows until the Thunderdome. And then once they kind of got a taste for getting live reactions and being able to do them on the fly, they decided to start doing them in arenas. They've toned down a lot on it since Vince has been not head of creative. But when it happens, it stands out. And this week was so bad. The reason I hate it so much is because when you're watching live professional wrestling, the entire purpose of professional wrestling, I won't say purpose, but the entire game of professional wrestling is winning over the audience, whether it's to get booed or get cheered, but it is to get a reaction out of the fans. And the game that you're supposed to play is to work to get those reactions. If you're not getting the reaction, you try harder or you go back to the drawing board. But it's always about playing to the actual crowd and what they're doing for you. Whether they're whatting you, whatever you're doing, it's your job to adjust. But to have the ability to just keep playing boos louder and louder. And you would have thought this was like Vicky Guerrero heat from back in the day, the way Trish was getting boos, except you're looking behind her and everybody's sitting on their hands, not doing anything. Some were looking at their phones, and then you're just, these boos just keep getting louder. And this was like, this sounded like, you remember that, the Raw after WrestleMania, what was that, 33, where Roman Reigns came out and was getting booed after he beat The Undertaker and he did the, it's my yard now. And every time he brought the mic closer, the boos kept getting louder. This sounded like that, except total uncanny valley. Like, I couldn't even get into it because of the fact that they were just drowning this entire promo in, like, that's not even the way promos work. Like, people tend to kind of be quiet and listen to what the person has to say and react once they're done talking. Then they'll start booing. But for whatever reason, through this promo, they're just like, let's just hold our finger on the boo button and we're just going to have these crowds just jeering the entire time. It sounded awful. It was taking me out of the moment. I was like into what Trish was saying. A lot of it was along the lines of what I was saying. I wanted to hear from Trish last week on this show. The material was good. I think Trish in her mannerisms was good. And I think she's selling it quite well. But WWE production deciding to take this a step too far and not letting the segment do what it needed to do on its own. Worst thing I saw this week. I'm so sorry, Trish. I didn't mean it. You're still my favorite, but I could not stand this. This drove me nuts.
You know, Will, it took a lot of bravery to do that because you have been here. We just had this whole long discussion about Trish Stratus last week, I think, on last week's episode. And you were very excited about this. And it kind of feels like, you know, based on everything you said, the production aspect of it dropped the ball. But I will say this, though. I do think part of the problem was that there was really not that much interest in what Trish Stratus was saying. Because I do think that the crowd could have responded, could have reacted. I mean, she was getting wooded at this point. And I do think a lot of that also had to do with the promo itself. You know, it was a fine promo, but just it really truly felt like no one cared.
Yeah. And I think that that, again, is the game of pro wrestling, though. You have to do the work to get people to care. You can't just fake it. And I think that they did a disservice to everybody involved here to kind of take the shortcuts and to play it the way they did. And I just wasn't a fan of that.
So I think, like, for sure, like, I would have preferred for them just to obviously not, you know, go crazy on the boo button, like you said, and instead, like, just have it be, even if the crowd's wooing or silent, just let it be what it is, so that then when she finally, you know, moving forward, if she finally gets that heat that they want, then it'll feel like it was earned, like there was a purpose there, and they finally won the crowd over in terms of reacting to it. So I do kind of feel bad, though, in that sense, because I did think she had some really good lines in there. Like, when my favorite one was when she said something along the lines of, "I'm not your childhood fantasy."
Yes, I was about to bring that up. And you know what? A good crowd would have responded, "Yes, you were. Yes, you were."
Because she was.
Because she was. That's what this is. Yes.
But and that was the thing too. Like, I thought that was good. And so I do think that there was a lot of good highlights in there. They probably could have trimmed this down just so it didn't feel like she was out there for so long, basically getting no reaction and them going, you know, the TV audience getting an entirely different experience from that. I do think they could have probably trimmed this down a little bit more, have her hit her points, get to the point where she talks about how she wasn't people's childhood fantasy. She wasn't just a sidekick and this and that. And I think that would have came across a lot stronger, but it did kind of suck because nobody cared. And so they have to make it so that you do care, because we all know those boos weren't happening legitimately. Yeah. But
I keep forgetting this picture exists, but I'm always glad when it does, where it was the WWF Fox account and then Trish reshared it, but the picture of Roman Reigns as a teenager with Trish on his wall.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see that?
And no. Yeah,
like, she's been doing great work online, and she shared the picture, and she was like, "At least he acknowledges me." It's always, every time I see that picture gets me, because even Roman Reigns knew what was up. Me and Roman are about the same age, and look, he knew that Trish was it back at that point, too. His was signed, though, so, like, he clearly even got... I don't know.
You think that's a little awkward, by the way, if now you're like this big WWE superstar and then one of the, like, the earlier stars that you had a crush on comes in and it's like, "Hi, how are you doing?"
I'm imagining Roman Reigns being like super nervous of like, "Oh my God, it's Trish Stratus."
Right?
Yeah. That actually sounds
awesome.
That's
a little embarrassing, huh? I think so.
No, that's awesome.
I'd be humiliated if, like, all my crushes, you know, growing up saw that. Like, that's embarrassing.
Look, I have met Trish Stratus exactly 3 times in my life. Three. And even though I can always keep myself professionally composed, it's always like, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, it's Trish," on the inside.
He's looking at me. We're breathing the same air.
Yeah. No, somebody once took a picture while we were talking to each other. Somebody took a picture, and I was like, "Oh my God, we're like looking at each other, and it's so great. This is amazing."
All right, we got some super chats in here. This one's from Dream Ninja 77, who says, "Just have to say, Mercedes, mother effing Monet. Also, it's rad that Hayter and Britt have the same birthday today. Hayter has become one of my top five favorite performers." They have the same birthday?
It's their birthday today.
Oh, shit. I didn't know they had the same birthday. That makes a lot of sense as to why they would, you know, get along, see eye to eye. I had no idea they had the same birthday.
There's a few people, because I know that, like, Jade Cargill and Red Velvet also have the same birthday, so when they pair together, and those two are the same age, so it's even better. So they're literally just like complete birthday twins. But yeah, today is the Killer and the Pillar's birthdays.
Is there anybody else?
I don't know that I can think of. I share a birthday with CM Punk.
That's it. Wait, I think you told me that. Did you tell me that?
Probably I would have told you that. I feel like that's something I would have told you.
All right. Benoit Richard saying, thank you so much to Benoit Richard, who sends in a super chat, says, if you need to put booze to tell your story, that means you're telling the story the wrong way. Yeah, I agree. Of course. I mean, look at how much freaking heat freaking Dominic and Rey Mysterio got. I mean, yes. Come on, like that was legit. People knew that was legit. And that felt like a holy cow, we earned this. We worked our way to get this moment. And you know what? There's something to applaud there. With this one, unfortunately, it was just polar opposite of that. But thank you so much to Benoit Richard for sending in the super chat and for also being a member here of the YouTube channel. All right. And
shout out to the members, by the way, because you've got a new feature on your Friday show. Like that's something I thought you were going to promote here.
I know. I guess I was. It's just there's too much to promote, man. I don't want to be like a walking advertisement.
You can.
All right. Well, here's a quick promotion. If you are a YouTube member on select shows, you will be added to the stream if you want. Of course, you're not being forced, but it's kind of a cool new feature. Nobody else is doing it on YouTube. And so that's one of my new innovations.
It's exciting. It was a cool feature. I watched it. I went back and I checked it out and I wanted to see how it went. And I thought it was a cool thing for you to bring your members onto the show to discuss the show with you. I thought that's a cool feature.
Yeah. I like that too. I had a good time doing that. It's really fun. Jared sends in a super chat saying, BOTW.
Oh, best of the week.
I was like, battle of the All right. Best of the week for me was WWE Women's Tag Team getting time and attention and good matches. I hope this continues when the NXT girlies get drafted. You know, I've spoken a lot about this in regards to Liv and Raquel and Chelsea and Sonya and the feud that they're all doing. How are you feeling about Liv and Raquel as a tag team?
Indifferent as far as they're concerned as a tag team, because they don't feel like a team to me yet. And literally, I've already seen Raquel as tag team champions with Aaliyah just a few months ago. And so I'm still not into the idea of this specific team yet, because nothing about them feels like a team. But the idea of focusing on tag teams is a good thing and is a better thing to me. And if this is all going somewhere, you know, I think the speculation is that it's going to lead to Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler getting the tag team titles, then that's ultimately a good thing. As far as those two specifically as a team, though, there's nothing to them as a team. It still feels like two separate acts, and that is always my least favorite thing for tag teams.
Agreed. Jared sends in a super chat saying, Silhouette brought back for Trish's entrance equals love. Her and Brock Lesnar were wearing the same outfit.
They did.
He just needed the crop top, though.
Who wore it better? Would Brock have rocked the crop top as well?
I think so. He's got the mabs. He can do it. He's got the mabs. Devil Kazuya 27 sends in a super chat saying, worst of the week, Hobbs losing and Jay White's current storyline. Well, I think that should probably cue me into my worst of the week. So it's time. My worst of the week, I feel really bad, but it's going specifically to the fact that Hobbs lost his TNT championship. And I'm going to be completely real when I say this. I really do think there was a real opportunity there to do something with Hobbs, to do something different with Hobbs. The people wanted it. The people wanted to see it. And I think from the second that they had QT help him win the title to the way that he lost it and the fast way that he lost it, it kind of felt like a missed opportunity for something that could have been done differently with Hobbs, where they could have easily made him into this new like force to be reckoned with on the roster, because he's got the look. They were telling the story. And I kind of feel like they just pivoted in a direction that they didn't necessarily need to do. And I did like the QT TV stuff. It's fine and all that. I did like that. But I do think that the fact that when Powerhouse Hobbs won, like everybody was happy that he won, right? But one of the big things was, why did QT, or some people it was, why did he align himself with QT? And then for others, it was, why did QT have to help him actually win this match here? And so that instantly kind of started us off a little bit on the bad foot there. And then I thought, okay, well, whatever, let's keep moving forward. You know, I'm not going to hone in, you know, worry so much on that. But the fact that I don't feel we legitimately got anything from the rain is kind of disappointing because they could have easily done so much more with Powerhouse Hobbs as champion. And look, I'm not even, you know, when it comes to Wardlow being champion, I've said this before, I just don't want to see the exact same thing, copy and paste, Powerbomb Symphony match that we were seeing every single week. I do love the direction that they tease with Christian Cage and Luchasaurus. I'm all down for that. But I don't necessarily think that it should have been at the expense of kind of halting this momentum that Hobbs could have gotten at one point had he kept going strong from everything that went down at Revolution. And I think that there was a lot of momentum there that they did not necessarily pull through the right way, in my opinion. So for that reason, that specific portion of it is my worst of the week.
I agree. I think that Powerhouse Hobbs was just getting started. And I think that his confidence level as champion, to me, was one of the most intriguing things about him as champion. I don't necessarily disagree with the idea that, you know, Wardlow needed to get back to the championship. But I also believe that he wasn't built up enough to get to this championship win, that I would have done it a Double or Nothing. I would have waited just a little bit longer. It's a month from now. And I think I would have allowed Hobbs to have a stronger reign, more of a presence on Dynamite before throwing it straight back at Wardlow. My understanding is that this was the plan all along. It wasn't like a sudden thing that he was always going to win the title back. But and that's why he lost it in the fashion he did. Fine. But I would have allowed Hobbs to showcase more as champion. Because what we saw out of Hobbs as champion, I think, was very good. I think the match against Rey Fénix, very good. The match against Penta, saw that in person. That was also very good. I thought him squashing Silas Young was very good. I think that we should have gotten, if his reign was going to be this short, we should have seen more of what Hobbs had to offer. And I think getting Wardlow back to that spot should have been done on TV more to get to this victory. And the fact that neither really got there, just this felt like it came out of nowhere. Even pairing him with Arn Anderson, I think, should have happened sooner if it was going to lead to this. Yeah, I think everything about this just felt too rushed for me. And I wanted Hobbs to get a longer reign. Look, Hobbs is the big homie. I love Hobbs. I love, like, I was, there's nobody I was happier for than to see him get the brass ring. The way he cut that promo on Wardlow in the media scrum, very, very good stuff.
He outshined him.
He outshined him. I thought he was really showing the confidence to be a champion and to carry himself as a champion. And I just wanted to see it go longer. That's all.
Yeah, I agree. So there you go. That was my worst of the week. We got some super chats to get into. This one is from Ricardo, last name TBD, who says, say now and always, Will. It was awesome.
Hold on one second. He means once and always, but two seconds.
Okay. Devil Kazuya sends in a super chat saying, worst of the week, Hobbs. Oh, I already read this one. Hobbs losing and Jay White's current storyline. Okay, thank you so much to Devil Kazuya. Sorry, I read that one twice. And alrighty, everyone. So we're about to get into our best.
Oh, no, we're not moving on yet, Denise.
No, because we're not moving on yet.
No, what's because he mentioned once and always. And I wanted a chance to talk once and always because I have not gotten to talk about Mighty Morphin Power Rangers on this show. So thank you for bringing up once and always, because once and always happened. It took place. I'm talking about like it's wrestling, but it finally premiered on Netflix this past week. And guys, it was everything I could have possibly wanted out of a Power Rangers special. Was it cheesy? Yes. Was it poorly acted? Yes. Was it nonsensical? Absolutely. And was it the best thing that's happened this week? Abso-freaking-lutely. I loved everything about it. I thought that Walter Jones killed it as Zack again. And for it to be his first time as Zack, since he left the show in 1994, I think was that piece of it brought a tear to my eye. David Yost back as Billy. Look, David Yost, terrible actor, and doesn't have it. But at the same time, this is Power Rangers. Nobody does. And seeing him back in the role was very, very good. I was happy to see Kat. I was happy to see even Steve Cardenas. I was never a big Rocky fan, but I feel like Steve Cardenas never really gets his due. Everything's always been about Austin St. John as Jason. And so to see Steve Cardenas get his shine as the Red Ranger was also very, very cool. And look, I cried at the end, honestly. That that tribute to Tui Trang and Jason David Frank, where they replayed the song that they did at the on Green No More, or the episode before Green No More, the song that Kimberly and Zach had sang to them, I thought was a really touching moment and a really good way to pay tribute to the Power Rangers we've lost. This was really, really cool. And if you grew up a Power Rangers fan, this is absolutely for you. If you're not a Power Rangers fan, this is not for you whatsoever. I thought that the Megazord stuff wasn't any good. I thought that CG Megazords, never a fan. As a matter of fact, I thought this looked worse than the stuff from Power Rangers the movie. But and that's CG from 1995. I would have honestly gone old school Sentai with it. But otherwise, Power Rangers, once and always. If you haven't seen it on Netflix, give it a watch. It is everything you could want as a product of the Power Rangers generation. You may return, Denise. I can't hear you. You're muted.
Sorry. I had muted myself so you wouldn't hear me while you were doing your review here. So I have never seen one episode of Power Rangers, and it's just like, you might as well be talking a different language to me at this point. Like, I was hearing every word you said, but I did not like absorb any of it, because I'm like, I don't know anything about Power Rangers. Nada.
I mean, look, it's a stupid show for children, and I fully understand that.
If you grew up with it, then yeah, for sure. But if you just missed the boat as a kid, it would probably be weird for me to get back into it if I was never a fan as a kid.
Oh, for certain? Maybe not. I don't know. I would almost be curious what somebody who hasn't watched Power Rangers sees, what they see it in it as an adult, and if they think, because like
it's
my parents
not good.
Hate.
It's not good. Like, I see it as too childish. Like, I can't imagine being an adult and being a fan of Power Rangers. And I'm not like shitting on anyone, but that's just like the way that me as an outsider, the way that I see it. Like, I can't imagine, like, for example, I used to watch Blue's Clues as a kid. Okay. And mm-hmm. Barney. All right. I can't imagine.
We're not comparing Power Rangers to Blue's Clues and Barney by the mother freaking way.
Yeah, but that's the shows I used to watch. So I can't imagine myself tuning in to watch Barney the movie at this grown ass age.
I would watch it. Well, you didn't watch the Blue's Clues movie that just came out?
There was a movie?
That just came out, yeah, with Steve. Like, he's back, and it's really good.
Steve's back?
Yeah.
I thought he replaced him.
Well, so it's like, it's an actual movie that brings back, like, it brings back Steve and the other guy, and it has the new guy, and it's actually pretty good, and it's, like, made for our generation who kind of grew up with Blue's Clues. But anyway, the thing
I'm
about...
I'm getting trashed in the chat.
Oh, yeah, you absolutely should.
I'm sorry, but I've never been a cartoon person.
Like, the thing about Power Rangers, for whatever it is, all generations who grew up with Power Rangers, there's this weird thing where we can't seem to give it up. I went to, in 2014, I went to Power Morphicon, which is exactly what it sounds like.
There's a con?
Yes, which is literally just a con for Power Rangers fans. And you get to go to every table, meet your favorite Power Rangers, and talk with other Power Rangers fans. And like, it's, and because the show has been around consistently without, I think it took one season off, right? But otherwise, it's been around consistently since 1993. So we're going on the 30th anniversary of this show. So there's generations of people who have just grown up with this show and all have a different idea of what they loved about it. And for whatever reason, anybody who was into it from 1993 on has just not given it up. We love it, and it's our favorite thing, despite the fact that, yeah, it's poorly acted, it's cheesy, it's wacky, there's glaring continuity errors, but at the same time, it's Power Rangers, and I love it. Well, and I'm glad that even my kids are into it.
That's awesome. I feel bad because I've never been on board with the cartoon stuff. Once I became like a teenager, I was out, you know, the cool, like, I phased out of things, I think, the way that most people would think you would. Like, as a kid, I watched the cartoons, you know, but I was a PBS kid, by the way, so that should probably explain everything, in the sense that I watched, like, all the educational shows.
Yeah, I mean, there's only two types of PBS kids, and I'm sure both of us fall into the latter part of it, which is there's the kids who watched PBS because it was intellectual TV, and then there's the kids who watched PBS because they were poor, and it was
I
free.
Think I was probably, well, I don't know, I was watching, I don't know, I was definitely not rich growing up, but I would watch PBS, and then, you know, I grew up, and then I was all about the Disney Channel, like, that was my life, like, Lizzie McGuire and Raven and all of those types of shows, even Stevens, like, that was my life, and then I phased
That's
out.
That's my daughter, by the way.
Yeah, see, and then I think my last show that I was like that I watched that was still appropriate at the time for my age group was probably The Suite Life of Zack and Cody. I still love that show. And then by then, that was it. I fell off and I was no longer watching Disney or Nick or any of that. I moved on. I moved on to adult programming. And I mean, that was it.
You know what was funny, though, was that I was kind of the same way, but in the sense that, like, I watched Power Rangers consistently from about when it came out when I was in the first grade. And I watched it till about, like in the sixth grade, I had to pretend like I didn't. And then, like, because I was starting to be surrounded by kids who were like, oh, you still watch Power Rangers? I'm like, no. And then in, like, seventh grade, I still watched it. And then, like, eighth, I kind of grew out of it. Ninth, I was out of it. Tenth, I was out of it. It, like, I was into adult programming, except I still watched pro wrestling. That's the funny thing. We're having this conversation, but we're also pro wrestling fans. And...
I know. And people will say the same thing that I just said about Power Rangers. When people say that, you know, you find out, like, oh, you still watch wrestling? Oh, I used to watch. What do you get? Oh, I used to watch that when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
Everybody says that.
And well, then here was the funny you're like, thing.
Oh, yeah, well, I still watch.
I got into more, like, adult-style programming until, and the Power Rangers fans in the chat will know where I'm going with this. But, again, 11th grade. Wouldn't even consider watching Power Rangers. Too old for that stuff. And then the season of Dino Thunder came out when I was a senior in high school. And I checked it out for nostalgia purposes. And I'm like, oh, this actually rocks. And I got back into it. And it stayed one of my favorite things.
Oh, man. Mr. CJ Lilly sends in a super chat saying the TNT title feels like the U.S. title in WWE. Short reigns seem lower than the Intercontinental title, which is the worker title like the Intercontinental. I can't argue it. I would like a little. It's not that I don't mind short reigns, but if they at least get a lot done within that period, then I'm okay with it. But I just don't feel like we got a lot done, specifically speaking for Hobbs right now.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to Mr. CJ Lilly for sending that in. And sorry, I'm catching up now with the chat, but we got another one here
so
from
much
Jared.
Power Rangers stuff in the chat.
I know. I'm seeing like woo, Dino Thunder, and I'm like, what? Jared sends her a super chat saying the hook for PR was that our Power Rangers was that it was one of the few series back then doing serialized stories for kids, story and character arcs. That's why it stood the test of time.
I mean, yeah, so it was a serialized story, and yeah, it was episodic, but it was also serialized. The thing that people don't understand about Power Rangers, because if I showed Denise Power Rangers season one, and I don't mean showing you the show. I mean, like, if you just literally open season one on Netflix, it's 63 episodes, because the thing people don't understand is that show came on every day. It wasn't just a weekly show for us as kids. So we'd come home after school, sit down, and every day, Monday through Friday, there was a new episode of Power Rangers. And so the first season is 63 episodes. We watched it every single day. So we got attached to these characters in ways that I think weekly TV doesn't allow people to do so. There's a reason why I think our generation is so attached to it. It's because, yeah, kids... these days, they get weekly shows. Sometimes they get, they have shows they can binge, and I think that gives them a little bit of that attachment. But for us, for 63 straight episodes, we saw these characters every day after school. I had to be home at 3:30 to watch, and I never missed an episode. And yeah, I, those who know, the power transfer episode, I sobbed for hours, and I was so upset. And these were characters that, in hindsight, as now that I look back at it, it had only been a year. It had only been a year that I was attached to these characters. But the fact that it was a year of, again, I saw across 60, almost at that point, 80-something episodes. No, I agree with that. It's serialized stories for kids. Story, character arcs, that is why it stands up. I agree with you, Jared. That is a great, great super chat.
Jared, thank you so much for the super chat. It's much appreciated. We got another one here from Chris Brown who says, Denise, I watched PBS too. I loved Arthur. I did love Arthur too. And seeing the Arthur memes now, like I'm so happy about that. But yeah, I was an Arthur fan as well.
And you know what? Hold on. Devil Kazuya said, Will, can you give us your best dragon flute? Not only can I give you my best dragon flute, I can give you the dragon flute because I freaking have it. Oh, wait, hold on. How do we play the... There it is. And... Yes, of course I can. The dragon flute. The dragon dagger. You can come
back,
Denise.
Well, I want to cry. I want to cry. This is like an entire world that I'm just not familiar with whatsoever.
It is. Really? Because it's morphin' time.
Oh my God, my brain is melting right now. I feel like I stepped into the boys section of the Toys R Us aisle.
That's Which is the best section.
Like. Oh God, no. I see those toys and I'm like, these are so boring. Like, what are the kids doing with these? Like, I'm sorry. I find the boy toys very boring. Like, whenever I have to shop for a boy, like, I just let my husband go. I'm like, you pick. Like, what would a little boy like? Like, he's like, oh, this is so cool. And I look at it. And
yes.
That is so boring. It doesn't even come with accessories.
Wait, first off, no, yeah. Girl toys suck. No, okay, because girl toys are, look, everything girl toys is just like real life shit. Like, who the fuck wants that? I want to go to space. I want to become a goddamn.
Space Barbies. There's like astronaut Barbies. They have careers. I mean, you can get the little pet.
Again, who the hell wants a career?
Pink cars.
Who wants a career when I have the Megazord?
Who wants a Megazord when you can get a dream house?
Why do I want a dream house?
Because it's fun. You get to play with the dream house. And you
I want to summon the dragon zord.
You can make marriages happen. You can, here with Barbies, you can act out a whole series, a whole drama. You don't got to count on anybody. You can do it yourself. Don't you talk smack on Barbies, Will. That was my thing back in the day. That freaking Barbie aisle, I used to have like a collection of like 200 Barbie dolls. Okay.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yes. Okay. Like I had a great time playing those. And we used to get, my mom would buy me the little cars and the little house. Well, not too many, but every now and then I'd get a little house for Christmas, a little car, the little outfits.
Oh, trust me. As a girl dad, I recognize all of these things because I once got my daughter the wrong Barbie camper one year and there was a fit over this at Christmas. I understand this completely. On the other hand, though, I don't understand because I'm like, well, what's the difference? It's a fucking camper. But then with my son on the other hand, really? This is a thing?
I will never forgive my mom for this one thing. The one thing I will never forgive my mom for is the fact that she never got me those freaking easy bake ovens. My whole life, I wanted an easy bake oven. You guys know which one I'm talking about. I always wanted one and my mom never bought it for me. And now I have... And 30-year-old me sees freaking easy bake ovens, and I'm so tempted to buy myself one because I never got one. Also, that and the button maker. She never bought me. There was this thing that you can make buttons with. I always wanted it, and she never bought it for me.
I think that's the difference between boys who grew up with their toys and girls who grew up with theirs. Like, you see an easy bake oven and are like, man, I wish I could have had that one day. I, on the other hand, saw the dragon dagger at age 33 and was like, I need that. I'm buying this right now. And
there's a double standard, by the way. Okay? You buying that sword, everybody would be like, oh, that's so cool. If I popped in here with my easy bake oven, people would be like, grow the fuck up, Denise.
I wouldn't. I would say, Denise, that's very cool that you bought that thing from your childhood.
No, no. It's totally a double standard. If I had Barbie still... Can you imagine how bad that would look?
No, I wouldn't judge you at all.
Yeah, I would judge me.
I mean, why? You're a career person who's doing cool shit.
I shouldn't have Barbies. I'm 30.
So do what the fuck you want. Like you are accomplishing all your goals and dreams.
Without ever having an easy bake oven.
You have a birthday coming up soon here, don't you? This is no, going to be great.
Will, no. Yeah. Will, no. No. I'm a grown-ass woman.
It's going to be so exciting.
An easy bake oven. Richard Martinez sends in a super chat saying, nostalgia is my drug. I am loving these shout outs. We got a something for whatever it is that you played with as a kid. Richard Martinez, thank you so much for the super chat. I appreciate that a whole lot. All right. And damn, I feel so bad because I'm trying to catch up with everything here and all of the super chats. Will DeBee says, Will, do you have Talking Saba Sword 2?
No, I wish I did, but I do have the Falcon Zord. Come on, y'all. You know. And there's a Dragon Zord back there, too. I'm not going to go get that. And I also have the Ninja Megazord, which goes hand in hand with the Falcon Zord.
Shit, I just came up with a really fucking cool idea, Will. Holy shit. If you're down, we should do this. Holy cake.
Okay.
What's okay. this? Okay. We need to do a video where we each go to our Target, our local Target, and mm-hmm. pick three of the coolest items we find in the boys' aisle and the girls' aisle. Bring it here. Obviously, within budget, because there's some cool stuff that are like hundreds of dollars. I ain't about to spend hundreds of dollars on a fucking Barbie house. But we should do that.
Yes. And then we'll like donate them. Segment. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I'm going to be an adult and give it to my little cousin.
I was going to say we could donate
them. Or she can play with them.
Or to a charity or a good cause. Something that's like we can make a good use of this as a podcast. Actually, maybe a good thing.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Like a segment, obviously. I ain't going to go to Toys R Us or a freaking Target every week to go buy Barbie dolls. But yeah. Will DeBeast, thank you so much for the super chat. We got one here from Sheldon Jackson who says, Will, we need a Power Rangers podcast from you ASAP.
Sure. I would absolutely love to do that.
Tyrone Kidd sends in a super chat saying, love you too. So what's the chance that Zelina uses the Chonkless at the PLE versus Rhea Ripley? I would love that. I would love to see that.
I would love that too. I honestly thought that's what was going to happen to Dominic at Mania, but.
Marco from the future says, sounds like a finisher, the easy bake oven. Hey man, that'd be cute actually if someone had that. By the way, Zero Prime says there's money collecting Barbies, Denise, no BS. Hey man, if I would have saved my Barbies from back in the day, I think I would have probably made some good money, but I don't have them. Joseph Molina says I'm 45 and I'm still collecting Transformers. That's awesome.
Yeah, Transformers are great. No, I, honestly, I was just talking, I just tweeted about Transformers yesterday. Yeah, honestly, I could talk anything that involves robots that turn into other different types of robots. It's my kind of thing. Bumblebee was very good, by the way. If you never saw Bumblebee, I honestly, because a lot
Isn't
of people...
John Cena, was he in
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Cena's in that. He plays the, what you think is the antagonist, but he's a good character in that movie. A lot of people slept on that movie because I think the Transformers movies all sucked up until that point. And then Bumblebee came out and people were like, another Transformers movie. And then that one was actually really good. There's a lot of heart. Haley Steinfeld is actually a really, really great protagonist in that movie. And it's really it's an 80s like coming of age story that just happens to also have robots, more than in like big Michael Bay action movie. It's really, really good.
TheTrain24 sends in a super chat saying, Hollywood, I'm 42-year-old male and I always wanted a dollhouse for my G.I. Joes could perform raids on my office. And I'm with you, Will, buy it. We work hard for the money, spend it how you see fit.
Absolutely. Look, do you see this room that I'm in right now? There's an arcade behind me because I spent my childhood going, I one day want an arcade. And I did.
I have no toys here. Don't see any. These are for decorative purposes.
Look, everything in here was me going, that thing from my childhood I wanted that I couldn't afford because, look, I didn't grow up with money. And now that I am an adult and am able to just spend, I'm just going to buy shit. And I do it because why the fuck not? If you want stuff, just go get it. Don't care about what anybody thinks of it. Just do it because it's great.
So what you're saying is go get your easy bake oven. Okay.
Yes. No. But don't get your easy bake oven.
No comment. Ryan Pregler sends in a super chat saying, Denise, that's cap. If you bought an easy bake oven, I'd be asking for cupcakes. Isn't it weird though that I would rather I shouldn't rather have an easy bake oven when I have a real oven at home and I can make real I can make cupcakes.
That's
like,
what I mean about girl toys.
Me back.
That's what I mean about girl toys, by the way, is that once you reach that point, it's like in my real life, I could never get the Dragon Dagger in any other fashion because there's nothing else like this in my real life. But you, on the other hand, it's like, why the hell do I want an Easy Bake Oven at 30 when I can literally just go to my oven and make some fucking cupcakes? I get it.
Jared sends in a super chat saying they resell girls' toys for boys all the time. Easy Bake Oven, equal Monster Bake Oven, Sky Dancers equal Dragonflies. They're all the same. Barbie equal G.I. Joe.
And I fell for all of that shit. I had the Monster Bake Oven. I remember that, actually, where you could make little gross things, but it was like, this really was just the Easy Bake Oven. Sky Dancers, I remember the Dragonflies, and it was just, flight is might. But it was like, yeah, these were just Sky Dancers, just like green. And yeah, Barbie and G.I. Joe. Yeah, I know. We're suckers as consumers, and it's very easy to get us.
Chi-Town Spur sends in a super chat saying, don't do it, Denise. Easy Bake Oven food is terrible. Have you ever made food with Play-Doh and secretly wanted to eat it?
Yes.
Or is that like not a thing?
I wanted to, but like I was at least stupid enough, or not stupid enough to, I don't know, it's non-toxic.
Because I like the smell of Play-Doh.
Really?
You don't like the smell of Play-Doh? Oh, I love the smell of Play-Doh. I love when my hands smell like Play-Doh.
No, I think Play-Doh smells gross. What is this?
What? Play-Doh does not smell gross. Mr. CJ Lilly says Lord Zedd was the best villain top five of any show.
Yes, agreed. He, to the point of where the reason they had him marry Rita Repulsa was because he creeped the shit out of children. So they needed to bring him down to earth a little bit and give him a family.
I can't believe that this is a pro wrestling podcast and we've gotten way more super chats about the non-pro wrestling thing than the pro wrestling. Sheldon Jackson says this should be a different podcast altogether, talking about things y'all grew up on. Ooh, that'd be some good stuff there for sure.
Yes, it would. Because
it's two different worlds. We grew up way different, Will, with obviously what you were a fan of, what I was a fan of. Snap Grapple Pop says, can't wait for round two when the Barbie movie comes out. P.S. Would love to see Will on Ethan Page's Toy Hunt or Denise get that Easy Bake Oven. I'm gonna watch the Barbie movie. Like, I'm gonna be there, like front, well, not front row, but you know, you get me. I'm gonna be there, middle section, right in the center, watching that damn Barbie movie.
Yeah, I probably All right. will too.
Frankenfoot sends in a super chat saying, Easy Bake Ovens are lit. Don't be ashamed, Denise. Will is a month older than me, and I never thought I would be so jealous of someone's Toys Ranger for life. No Bueno Crew sends in a super chat saying, I dropped a Tommy t-shirt, legends never die for the brand, and it did great. Power Rangers rule. Would love to send you a tee or two.
Seriously, hit me up, DM me on Twitter. I would absolutely rock that.
That's awesome. Thank you so much to No Bueno Crew for also sending in this super chat. All righty, man. So now that we seem to have finished the toy talk here, it's time for our best of the week. Yes, guys, back to the wrestling. Here we go. Best of the week. Will, do we have the same one?
Well, maybe, because my number one happens to come from a guy who is a gigantic Power Rangers fan and a guy who I relate to on pretty much all of my fandoms more than anybody. And it is one Austin Creed. Xavier Woods. And there's nobody who I get behind more than him. He just has such an endearing personality and he makes you want to see him succeed to the point of where challenging somebody like Gunther, somebody who you know they're going for the record, you know he's going to become the longest reigning Intercontinental champion of all time. But up against Xavier Woods, damn it, I just wanted to see Xavier get this victory. I just wanted to see him pull this off, to pull this out, and to get this win. This was great. Denise, why did you love this match?
So for me, it was weird because, you know, I don't want to see Gunther lose his Intercontinental title, okay? I really don't. But at the same time, I didn't want to see Xavier Woods not win this match either. Like, they made it so that I would have been okay with it going either direction, because here's the thing. Like, this match was so much fun. I love that right off the bat, Xavier Woods tried to, like, bring the big man down, attacking the legs, trying to bring him down. Couldn't. And then he took pretty much a beating the entire time. But then towards the end, you know, had his comeback. And my favorite part was right before the finish, he did a leg drop. He did. He had like a crucifix pin. He did so many different things to try to, you know, keep Gunther down. But then Gunther locks in that sleeper hold, gets the win, and it just all happened so fast. But there were so many times where I bought that Xavier Woods could actually win at this point in time. And part of me was like really excited about it. And again, this goes back to me not wanting to see Gunther lose the title, but yet this match was so good. And obviously, you know, everybody loves Xavier Woods, that I don't think people would have been pissed had Gunther lost here. I think that people would have been happy about it.
So I didn't get to watch this match until this morning. And so by the time I had seen this match, I was already well aware of how it ended. And that didn't change anything for me. It was such a, maybe I read the results wrong. Like, I was that into this. And seeing how much Xavier was pulling the crowd into him, seeing how much he, like, I love that sleeper finish, by the way. I loved how much of a struggle that felt like. Like, the way that Gunther was not quite getting it cinched in, and there was a little bit of a wrestle out of it, and then he got it back. I just thought so much of this was action-packed. And again, Xavier plays the struggling, valiant babyface so well. But at the same time, Gunther was just so good at shutting him down that this was honestly my favorite type of pro wrestling I got to watch this week. And I love getting to see Creed get these types of roles, especially with both Big E and Kofi out on injury. If we're not able to do more New Day stuff right now, that's okay. I want to see Woods get more things like this. Granted, I don't know if that's going to happen. I have a feeling this is the road for him, but this was so good.
It definitely was. And I feel like we need more of this on SmackDown, on Raw, across the board. I really thought that this was the good week for wrestling in terms of every show at least had one or two matches that I think were just, a little bit above average in terms of how they felt. So that was definitely something that I agreed had to be number one.
I was just sent a picture, by the way. You'll appreciate this. Shout out to my daughter, Veda, who is currently watching us on the TV.
Oh, my God. I love that. Oh, so. Well, shout out, Veda, because, you know, that's so cute. I love it. It makes me happy. I love when people send us, like, pictures and stuff like that. I feel special. Oh, my God, we're on TV. YouTube TV. I don't care. Still TV. Still TV. There you go. We'll take it. All right. Well, that was our podcast. Everyone, that was our podcast. Will, you know the drill. Plug whatever you need to plug in.
Follow me on Twitter. I just reached 18,000 followers, which, I don't know, it's a drop in the bucket compared to all the stuff Denise has been pulling off, but I just reached 18,000 followers. You could please continue to follow me. I'm William RBR on Twitter. That's where you can find all of my content. I do podcasts, and I've been doing a lot of them. I'm coming up on my 18th anniversary of podcasting very, very soon.
When is
here.
It?
June 18th, which is actually Sunday. But I am coming up on my podcast anniversary. So it's almost old enough to vote. So
podcast-iversary.
Yes, podcast-iversary. So looking forward to pretty much everything I've got going on right now. Keep checking out all the stuff. I'm really sorry to everybody that I didn't get to do a Day After Dynamite this week. I was hoping I was going to feel better on Friday. I felt worse on Friday. And so that didn't end up happening. Apologies to Nick Hausman, by the way, who was supposed to be my guest. But we'll find a time to do a podcast together. Otherwise, that's my stuff.
All right, guys, that's for me, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. Keep the love coming. Subscribe. Join the family. Make a note after the week, Sundays, and then Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Speak Now Pro Wrestling here on the channel. Twitter and Instagram @_Denise Salcedo. Give us some love. Thank you so much to everybody who tuned in, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye, everyone.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.